Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome into First Things First. How is everyone today?
Wonderful.
Great.
My God.
Good to be here. Good morning.
I know people aren't shaking
hands. We're not shaking hands anymore, Nick.
Always shaking
hands.
Where is the Purell?
Absolutely. I'll never stop. Good to see you, Mr. Wilds, Ms. Wolf.
Thank you. You too, sir. We have an absolutely fantastic jam-packed show today. The suddenly healthy Clippers can't stop winning. The Lakers are on pace for 4,000 wins this season. And yet we will start with one Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr., known to his very, very close friends as Tom. Tom's future has been a small little tiny talking point of late. The latest, Tom to San Francisco. Deion Sanders brought it up. Some shrugged it off, but now Patriots insider Tom Curran is reporting the Brady to Niners buzz. It's a real thing on both sides. And he's also reporting Belichick would welcome a reunion with Jimmy G. Nick, here we go. You buying that Brady could replace Jimmy Garoppolo?
I'm not buying it, but it's incredibly simple for it to happen. And I want to give credit to Tom Curran. Tom Curran is, of all the voices on this story, the one I trust the most.
Yeah.
The one who has not had to retract any reports. The one who has not had to say, what I actually meant was, and this is dating back years. He has relationship with people very close to Brady. He wrote a book, I believe, with Edelman. He is locked in on this. Tom Curran went on Ryan Russillo's podcast and talked about this. Tom Curran then went on Adam Schein's radio show and talked about this. Tom Curran then went on the radio in San Francisco with my friend Damon Bruce and talked about this. I listened to all three of them because I don't have much of a very interesting life.
We all know.
So the fact of the matter is there is the possibility, let me put it like this, it would appear, if the Niners are interested, this could happen. And people might say, well, didn't Jimmy G sign that huge deal? Trades in the NFL are complicated because of dead money. This one's very simple.
Laid out.
Jimmy G gets traded to New England, and Brady signs with San Francisco. It's that easy. If you move on from Jimmy G in San Francisco, it's $4 million of dead money against your cap. Essentially nothing. It's not one of those, the signing bonus is accelerated. Not the way Jimmy G's contract is structured. So,
but Brady has to want to sign in San Francisco.
And the Niners have to want to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. My point is sometimes parties want to do something, but the math doesn't work. The math on this one works perfectly. The math I can't get over is 14. That's how many years Tom Brady is older than Jimmy Garoppolo. He's 42. Jimmy Garoppolo is 28. That's why, among many other reasons, Coach, I don't think this makes sense for the Niners. I get why it would make a ton of sense for the Patriots. You get a mulligan on a trade you'd probably want back to begin with. But I don't see it happening because it's a 14-year age difference. And Jimmy G, even though I was critical of him this year, is coming off his first full season as a starter, and his team went to the Super Bowl.
All right, so there's a lot of things here. I don't think there's a mulligan on the trade that you want to get back. I mean, Tom has won a Super Bowl since that trade took place.
But I'd like that back, Coach.
What's that?
As a Patriots fan, I'd like that back.
Well, I don't know why, but okay. Why?
I would just like to have him on the team. It's like, Jimmy G's on the team.
As a replacement of Brady, but just to have him
be. No, just like him. I just wish he was still on the team.
No, I get that. I mean, a lot of people wish free agency didn't exist and there's no salary cap. I get that part, too. But, like, financially, you couldn't do it. If this does work out, it's genius for Tom Brady. If Tom wants to go play for his hometown team and he gets an opportunity to do that, the only way I could see San Francisco wanting to do that is if they think, okay, this is a two-year deal, and then in 2 years we'll get Kirk Cousins, which is who they wanted a long time ago. So my thought process is, let's go get Tom. If they're going to do it, we'll go get Tom for 2 years. He gives us a better opportunity with this good defense and this team we have to go win the Super Bowl because we don't trust Jimmy G, if that's the thought process. And in 2 years, we'll replace him with Kirk, who we wanted initially. Anyways, that's how I could see that part working. Makes sense for Tom. He can go to his hometown team. Doesn't make sense from a system fit. I mean, it's not anywhere near the system that Tom's ever run or been successful with. And from a New England perspective, it makes sense if you get a guy with no at 26, 27, 28 million dollars for 3 years.
And it's team options, essentially, because you can move on from him each year.
Yeah, that would make total sense for New England from there. But Do I see this happening? No, I don't think it's going to happen at all.
You spelled it all out so perfectly.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to happen. But I mean, it's a nice scenario.
There's a lot of ifs. There's a lot of assumptions. There's a lot of, does Kyle Shanahan? We know that whoever gets Tom Brady is going to want to probably change their system for Tom Brady. Kyle Shanahan has a completely different system. You laid this all out for us yesterday. Radically different with all the pre-snap movement than what Tom Brady does. What are you going to do? Butt heads? How does that even, something like that even work? Or if you're going to get someone like Tom Brady, you know you're this close. You got this close last year. He's the final piece to take you over the top.
It would just amaze me that they felt that strongly that they don't have the answer in San Francisco, that they can't win with Jimmy G, that they need to go get someone like Tom Brady in order to win the Super Bowl. And to me, that's a utter failure in terms of the trade and what they paid Jimmy Garoppolo if they feel that they can't win a Super Bowl with him based off what they invested in.
How many minutes away were they?
They were up 10 with 8 minutes left.
So you're 8 minutes away?
Well, so the question for the Niners is, do they think they'd have won that game if Brady was the quarterback? I don't, but I understand why certain people would think that. I do have a question to you on the system fit, and I'm sorry to be interrogating you this morning, so early in the morning. Jimmy Garoppolo was in the Patriots system. Mm-hmm. He got traded to the Niners, and that year started playing. That year, he didn't play great, but I think they went 4-0 in his starts. I think it was 7 touchdowns, 5 picks. His numbers weren't impressive, but a team that had won nothing started winning games. He had only played in one system his whole career, Josh McDaniels, the Patriots system. He gets to San Francisco with Kyle Shanahan. He seemed to pick it up pretty quickly. So what is the skepticism about Brady being able to do it?
It's not like he's going to try to pick up advanced math. It's still football at the end of the day, and it's not that Tom can't pick up the system. It's not that Tom couldn't do well in the system, but he does something really well, and he's done something really well for a long time. Why wouldn't you put him in a position to be as successful as possible, as opposed to saying, okay, we are so committed to what we do that we're not going to put the player that we just traded for or signed or invested in the best possible situation to be successful. It doesn't make any sense.
And Wilds, I know you're excited about the idea of this. You said earlier before the show, once a Patriot, always a Patriot. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you something. It might bring you down.
Is that true?
Yeah. That's how he feels. Oh, look at Coach. Wilds, once a Patriot, always
I'm
a
never
Patriot.
Like, oh, Eric Mangini of the Jets. I'm like, Eric Mangini, Coach.
Okay. But if Jimmy Garoppolo had a glass ceiling in a Kyle Shanahan offense with, I think everything is set up to help the quarterback succeed, I think you are not going to get a better version of Jimmy G.
Why do you think everything is set up to help the quarterback succeed in that system? When you have pre-snap shifting and motioning, you get no pre-snap information. You have no idea what the defense is going to be in, because when you're in a 2x2 set and you go to 3x1, the defense changes. When you change, they change, so now you're making all your decisions after the snap.
It just feels to me, and listen, you obviously know more about this stuff than I do by far. I wouldn't act otherwise. I just watched Matt Ryan be this level quarterback his whole career, and then with Kyle Shanahan, he wins the league MVP, and they're the 8th highest scoring offense ever. I watch Kirk Cousins. I watch Jimmy Garoppolo, who I think is very limited, have statistically a great season. When I watch the Niners, I'm like, how is that guy running open? How is that guy always running wide open? So maybe I'm assigning it too much to the system, but I think Kyle Shanahan's a brilliant offensive mind. So I am curious what Jimmy Garoppolo looks like without him.
What did Jimmy Garoppolo throw the ball in the AFC or the NFC Championship?
Oh, not much. Not much.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
We take a turn now. It was a good night in sports. We plucked out the best of the best for you. We start
superstar.
With best achievement. Goes to Jason Tatum.
Superstar Jason Tatum.
Took home Eastern Conference Player of the Month honors. How about this? First guy other than Giannis to win it this season. Nick, you called it.
I did. Everyone says I hate on Jason Tatum. I said a week ago he's going to win Eastern Conference Player of the Month. He, by the way, shout out to LeBron, who wins Western Conference Player of the Month. That one was a shock. I thought Russ would win it. Tatum deserved it. Bradley Beal averaged 36 a night.
Get to the tiers.
Maybe he'll give Tatum the credit he deserves. No.
I'm giving
finally.
Him credit. There
move
he is.
Finally.
Look at
months
him.
And
move him up a tier. I named the tier after him. How about that?
Oh, so he's locked in by the marketing of the tier?
No, I'm just saying.
All right, guys, on to the shot of the night.
Jason
We've got
tiered him.
Knicks Western Conference Player of the Month. Look at that named shot, it. Coach. LeBron pulling up from where? The logo nails it.
I mean, that reminds me of a Patrick Mahomes jump pass.
Oh, come on.
It seems like, why are you doing that to him? But it's just part of the repertoire now.
He's not really a logo guy.
See, the guys came out and measured afterwards. They said, make sure.
This is the fifth shot from 30-plus feet. Trae Young has 31. LeBron's got 5. Trae Young's at 31.
I think, listen, LeBron, Trae, Dame, Steph when he plays, and LeBron are the four best in the league at the super deep threes.
Jimmer?
Oh, my God.
I always pull up from the logo.
March, man.
You do?
I can't get the ball
off. You pull up from the logo?
Yeah, I can't get the ball
off. Dunk of the night. Here we go. Jaylen Brown throwing down the nasty 360 off the fast break. He had time.
Boom. Now you're going to demand him on a tier.
He should be on a tier.
Oh, come on.
He's paid like he should be on a tier.
He's a tier away from being a tier away.
The Jaylen tier?
Yeah.
So I mean, that's two
career highs, points, and field goal percentage.
Anywhere near him as he comes down the court. I mean, it's...
Coach, you want guys to teleport defensively on fast breaks. Who's going to catch up to him? It's an open court steal.
Anybody that wants to play defense?
Oh, my geez. God.
How about the block of the night? Same game. Marcus Boom. Smart meets Jared Allen at the rim.
This Nick, is just a Celtics bonanza. Contest.
All right. This is, by the way, this was also the game of the night.
Mm-hmm.
51 from Caris LeVert. That's what Marcus Smart needs to be doing. Tough, gritty defensive things. I think he took 14 threes in this game. I know he's shooting a career high from three. Chill, Marcus.
Also fouled at the end of the game. Brutal.
Oh, my God. No, Bill Simmons.
He committed the foul. No, stop. He committed the foul.
Oh, okay.
He committed the foul that we lost the game for us.
All right, guys. Our Zion play of the night. The guys gets his own category at this point. You want to know why? Because he has grown man strength.
Coach, you got a problem
just
with this?
Like
the defense on this?
No, I like the fact that he goes up amongst four dudes and brings it home. That's good.
There we go.
It sounds like you're being sarcastic, but you actually serious. Weren't that's for the a change.
Worried about Pelicans?
I think the Lakers ended them on Sunday, unfortunately.
That's it?
Four out and 21 to play. I think they're in trouble.
I love
Coach
this.
Of the night, Stop hairstyle it. Of the night, with pop awesome. Out for personal reasons. Tim Duncan stepped in, got his first career win as Spurs head coach. He's 1-0.
Yeah, but he doesn't actually get credit for it. It's
nope,
BS.
It goes to Greg Popovich.
It goes to Popovich.
It's like how Luke Walton got all those wins. No, Kerr got all the wins for Luke.
Exactly
Are we in on the hair? It doesn't seem like a Tim Duncan thing.
Oh, that's Tim Duncan thing.
Oh, the hair? Classic.
Athletic achievement of the night. This is video we're just calling dudes jumping through hoops.
Where though? Where are they?
They look like
who knows? Cirque du Soleil.
This looks like my workout yesterday.
You know the creator of Cirque du Soleil? It runs some of the world's best high-stakes poker games.
Is that true?
Guy Liberté, La Liberté, absolutely. I don't have the bankroll to get into him. Guy La Liberté. But that's, to me, his legacy.
Can I throw one out there at you? I was in Cirque du Soleil.
Get out.
I was in Cirque du Soleil.
What?
In the commercial break.
Find the video, America.
I will get you video.
That's what?
I did two cartwheels. I had pneumonia at the time.
Shocker, Jenna was sick.
We got to talk about the Clippers. They are in the middle of their toughest stretch of the season, taking on OKC last night. Kawhi not only played, Nick, but he played well.
Yep.
Dropped a game-high 25. Clippers won. They now have the Rockets in Houston tomorrow night, and they got the first-place Lakers on Sunday. That's not fun. But, Nick, what will this win in their upcoming stretch tell us about the Clippers?
All right, so I've got to be fair. A couple weeks ago, before Joel Embiid was out, okay, I said this five-game stretch is going to tell us a ton about the Clippers. Denver, Philly, OKC, Houston, LA. Now, Philly, you kind of scratch off that list because no Simmons, no Embiid. Shake Milton drops 39. Drops you, they score 130, but you get the win. They were extraordinary against Denver. My friend Colin Cowherd texts me during the game, Clippers are terrifying when they're fully healthy. They were great against Denver. Now, Denver's also a team that last night couldn't beat the Golden State Warriors at home, so Denver's in a bit of a funk right now. OKC has been an extraordinary fourth quarter team, the best closing team in the league. Clippers did something really smart yesterday. Made sure the fourth quarter wasn't going to matter because they were so good throughout. So they have been very impressive over this stretch thus far. The determining factor, though, is of course going to be these two games. I went into the year saying Clippers are the third best team in the Western Conference, behind Los Angeles and Houston. They now play Los Angeles and Houston. Houston has beaten them 2 out of 3 times this year. The one loss was a 3-point loss. Kawhi hit the game winner. I'm very curious to see how they do in Houston. And can they go up 3-0 on the Lakers? I know if they do, no one will care. The Lakers are number one seed. People say you can't beat the Clippers. So They have done well up to this point. They have looked good at full strength. I'm very curious to see how they do against Houston and against the Lakers, the two teams that I feel are better than them in the Western Conference.
We have a small sample size, I think, when this LA Clippers team is healthy. And I know that you don't have a whole lot of belief in them being one of the top teams or the top team in the East, however, or in the West. But this is why people are so high, myself included, on what they can be. Because when they are healthy, the depth they have, the way they can come at you in ways, the multiplicity in which they can attack you on both ends of the court, I think we're starting to see. And you said it, 9-0 when healthy, also when Beverly, Kawhi Leonard, and Paul George play, they're 19-4. So I think this will, assuming that they all play, assuming that they're healthy, which I know are always big
huge
ifs in your mind.
Assumptions, though.
Yeah,
they haven't been. It's taken them this far into the season.
But the point is, but a lot of it is whether you want to call it injury management, load management. This is all building up to the postseason, and this is all building up to why people have a belief in this Clippers team that they are making sure to manage themselves to be healthy in the playoffs and in the postseason. I do think we're going to be able to tell something from it. I'm curious to see, because this also was the first time they're playing this Houston team looking the way that they look. And
correct.
So this is a very different style. I think how they match up, how they attack one another is something that will be fascinating to see. I also think, to me, it will be more telling to me for the Lakers side of things than the Clippers side of things,
on
because
Sunday.
I do believe that the Lakers, it would be important for them not to go down 3-0 in the regular season series.
And the one other time they play now this year is for the Lakers on a back-to-back.
It's what, March 8th?
March 8th or 9th, whatever it is. But it's the game that was postponed after Kobe's death. That's a game where the Lakers probably will have the one seed. Well, no, they won't have the one seed locked up by then. But since it's the third game in three nights, which never happens in the NBA anymore, you wonder how much you're going to be able to take away from it. This could be, on Sunday, the last time we see these two teams play each other full strength unless they play in the playoffs.
What would make you nervous as a Laker guy?
Oh, they blow out Houston and they handle the Lakers again. I'll say, Clippers at full strength or what everyone has told me they'll be.
But would you go a little further and say maybe the load management worked because it all kind of fell into place?
Let's go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't think load management, to me, the load management, it will be a telltale sign in the postseason. To me, this is too early to
tell
whether.
There's nothing to be answered about load management in the regular season.
Well, I just think it's how they've been approaching things. I think what will happen is the Lakers, which have been at full bore, and LeBron James, as we typically see, and then you have the different approach by the Clippers, of the Clippers stars, and just all of them being healthy. However, to me, I think the test will be, the big question has been defensively. There's been so much talk about them being a top defense. They're starting to get to that point. I would like to see how they handle this Houston team and then how they match up against the Lakers again.
And they look like a top defense last night. This weekend against Philly, they look like a terrible defense against a team without its best two guys. So they're kind of hit and miss in that regard. Jenna, to answer your question, let's see how they look in the first round.
Okay.
Let's see, because the Lakers have tried. They're gonna sweep their first round series, whether it's Memphis or San Antonio, if New Orleans gets up there, whomever it is. Portland maybe. Portland could be a tough one, actually. Yeah. The Clippers, let's see how they look against Dallas. Let's see how they look against, if they get OKC again, if they get the Jazz. If that series goes six, then all of a sudden, a lot of the rest that you banked, it's not like sleep, can't bank it, that you rest early in the, that you used, got early in the year, how much does that help you in your second round, which might be Clippers-Rockets in round two if they end up as the 2-3.
I was just going to say, if you could bank sleep, that would be amazing. I'm sorry, I got off topic for a second, but I got excited about banking.
I felt like you've read a few sleep articles.
I feel like I thought
that's how it works. Do you even sleep?
I thought you did not.
I hibernate.
Lakers hosted the Sixers last night. Sixers down two stars in Embiid and Simmons. Lakers up two stars in LeBron and AD. Guess who prevailed? Exactly. LeBron gave you 22, 7, and 14. Yeah. Anthony Davis chipped in a modest 37 and 13. Lakers cruise to the big win. They're now 9-1 over their last 10 games. Here's the king after the win.
Every minute that we're on the floor, we continue to grow together. The most important for our ball club is that we challenge each other between the two of us. And, when we do that, we hold each other accountable. It trickles down to everyone else in the ball club.
All right, Sarah, when you got LeBron and AD playing the way they're playing, dominating like this, can any team in the league beat them?
I think
Can any team beat them? Yes, yeah. I still have faith in the Clippers. However, I think by far these are the two best teams in the West. I love what the Rockets are doing. I think the way in which they've changed and how they have unlocked Russell Westbrook is impressive. I don't think you overlook what Denver and Utah can do. However,
I'll overlook Denver. I'm okay with overlooking Denver.
You don't believe in them?
No. But sorry, go ahead.
But nonetheless, I feel like when you watch what LeBron and AD can do on the floor together and how it changes the dynamic of how any team can guard them, then absolutely. I do think if you told me pick the winner between Clippers and the Lakers, I would still be going with the Clippers. I think their depth overmatches it. I think the way that they can come at you, I would still have more confidence. But overall, if you're saying a one-game series, I believe our good buddy Vincent Goodwill said this on the show, pick a series, I'm picking the Clippers. Pick a game seven, and I'm picking the Lakers, because you wouldn't bet against LeBron and Anthony Davis. And I think overall, too, just how LeBron understands how to play with Davis. I think what we see Anthony Davis continuing to do on the floor while he's out there on his own, how the rest of the team is going to come together, some of the new pieces that they have that they're fitting in. I think the remainder of the season, LeBron James and the coaching staff and Frank Vogel understand how to work out some of those tweaks and kinks. And I think the fact that they have started the season out the way they have and continue to play at this level is something to be said.
Well, so Anthony Davis is going to win Defensive Player of the Year, and I know people are going to focus on his 37, but it was his defense that turned this game. The Lakers are down 13 points in the third quarter. I'm sorry, early in the second quarter, and then they go on a 37-10 run.
That doesn't worry you?
What part of it?
The fact that they were even down 13 points.
No, because that's NBA basketball. That's NBA basketball. You're going to have, I'd be worried if they were down late. Early in the game, there was an odd sequence at the end of the first quarter where the Sixers get 7 points in about 30 seconds. The Lakers got off to a sleepy start of the second quarter, and they flipped a switch.
Okay.
And Anthony Davis looked like a pterodactyl out there with his arms and just swarming. And then absolutely was dominant on the offensive end. And here's where, since you mentioned the Clippers, here's where I think the question's most interesting. If they play the Clippers in the NBA playoffs, that has to be an Anthony Davis series.
Why?
Yeah.
Because the Clippers have been built to slow down LeBron. They have ignored slowing down Anthony Davis. If you were to say the seven players in the league most wired or most physically gifted to stop LeBron James or slow LeBron James, they got three of them in Los Angeles. They got Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Marcus Morris, guys who aren't scared, guys who are strong, guys who are long. They got nobody to slow him down. And Anthony Davis early in the year, I thought, was relying a little too much on the outside shot. In the calendar year of 2020, January 1 to now, that outside shot is dropping at a clip of 43%. To go along with these things he can do on the inside, when he plays as aggressive as he did offensively yesterday, I don't think there is a team in the West that can match the Lakers. Now, every time we have this discussion, I'm going to add the caveat of the Bucks look like an all-time great team. We don't care about them. We don't talk about them. But they profile out as one of the seven greatest teams in the history of basketball. The Lakers don't profile out to that. So, but as far as the Western Conference goes, Wilds, if Anthony Davis plays like this, you know what you're getting from LeBron come the postseason. Then I don't think anybody can hang with the Lakers on that side of the bracket.
You know what it felt like a little bit watching the highlights?
What's that?
It felt a little showtimey. It just felt like the Lakers have an identity. And I was watching the highlights and I saw like AD is doing like crazy dribbles. And then he's got this up fake and dunk. There just felt like there was a swagger and confidence to them that was like, oh, this is like Showtime Lakers. Like no one's stopping them. And I just don't get these. Watch this.
There's the up fake and dunk.
However,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say that's an important point you brought. For as much as we're focused on teams in the West, Milwaukee is a beast. Yeah. I was just down in Miami calling a Nets Heat game, and I stayed after to see the Heat Bucks game. And however, the Heat handled Milwaukee, but you talk about different players that you potentially could toss at LeBron or at Anthony Davis.
Well, that's the problem. What Giannis could do on Anthony Davis is concerning for the Lakers, I feel like.
Lakers play the Bucks Friday night. We will get to see what that looks like. But we want to give a little turn and talk more about LeBron here. In year 17, looks like the King might be approaching this season just a little differently. This according to Brian Windhorst, who said James has embraced playing a position, point guard, he previously shunned. He's reversed as in-season strategy of a slow and sometimes sluggish build-up to the postseason. And he's done it with public and full support of his team, abandoning past approaches of occasionally bullying his way to roster moves. James, the Laker, has become bonded to his team's front office and ownership like never before in his career. Simply, this is not the James we've come to know.
It's good.
Nick, no one's as dialed into this team and this athlete as you are. Are we seeing a different LeBron this year than you've seen, at least
the,
in years
the passive
past?
Aggressiveness has not shown up anywhere. On the court, on social media, on the guys, come on. You're not seeing it. He has, at every step of the way with the Lakers, aside from the fact that he tore his groin, done everything right. I'm old enough to remember people criticizing LeBron for him wanting to play with Anthony Davis at the expense of Josh Hart's feelings. Well, how's Josh Hart supposed to play knowing he might be traded? How's that working out? Then this summer, if you remember, they wouldn't give Ty Lue a legitimate coaching contract. So he ends up going to be an assistant for the Clippers instead of head coach for the Lakers. LeBron doesn't say a word. The day it happened, I reached out to Rich, LeBron's agent, and said, you guys want to say anything about this? Text me back immediately. LeBron's here to play, support whoever the coach is. And I couldn't believe it.
That surprised you.
He showed up at the Vogel press conference. He's been nothing but supportive. He dealt with Magic doing, I ain't going to be here. Was nothing but supportive there. Obviously dealt with the Kobe tragedy with as much grace as anyone could imagine. Did not press any point of leverage on go trade for Derrick Rose. They were talking about trading for Derrick Rose. They probably could have if he would have wanted to ship Kuzma out, if he would have pushed some leverage there. He did not. And as Windhorst alludes to, he's never wanted to play point guard, ever. And he is not just point guard in name. He is truly playing point guard for this team that desperately needs it. As far as that, you can say whether he's MVP or not. I actually don't think he is. But what he has done leadership-wise and as far as being another member of the management team disseminating the message to this roster, I feel like you have to give him an A-plus across the board on that.
Sarah, you agree?
Yes. That, to me, is what blows me away about how good LeBron is, not only as a player, but as a leader. I think his understanding of what a team needs, when it needs it, and how to approach it. And we've seen him through his years in Cleveland in different scenarios of looking at the regular season like a dress rehearsal, understanding that whatever seed we get, wherever we fit, we'll be fine. It doesn't matter. And he came into this season knowing that the team needed to get it together, understanding the beast that the Western Conference is and how important seeding was. And he took that approach, and that was also part of Brian Windhorst's article. He took the approach of this wasn't a steady build into the season. They needed to come out of the gates and hit it hard. And I think, to me, that's been an impressive understanding of LeBron, just reading the situation, reading the scenario, and also just maturity. I think it also comes with the maturity and, you know, just what you see out of the course of the NBA, how he's handled the front office, how he's handled the organization, the reverence that he has for coming to the Lakers and how they would best embrace him.
You can also almost quickly before we break see him mature almost throughout the season. We started the season off with a ton of hashtag washed kings, like, oh, yeah, I'm washed. He stopped with that. We don't have any more of the
I bet we get a few more of those.
We haven't. No more like Taco Tuesday. Everything is really focused.
There's no reason to bash Taco
I'm
Tuesday.
Not bashing it.
Did he trademark it? Did he try to?
He tried to, but it didn't quite work out.
And that's what killed Taco Tuesday?
I wonder.
Let's take a break. In or out, Nick? Is that better?
I'm in.
Let's go. LeBron James balled out last night to celebrate winning Western Conference Player of the Month, but many believe Russell Westbrook should have taken home the honors.
Who's Nick? Many? Nick?
Nick, I throw many out. Nick, you went around on LeBron winning over Russ.
I'm out. I am shocked LeBron won this award. Shocked. LeBron won it in January, deservedly so. In February, what more could Russ have done? 33-7-6 on 55% from the field.
You swayed the
40%
voters.
From three. It only taking 2.5 threes a game. The Rockets lost one game that he played that month, and it was on a last-second three. I'm shocked Russ didn't win.
He could have averaged four more assists, or he could have averaged one more rebound.
Oh,
I am shocked that Nick Wright is not going with your guy, LeBron James.
I'm fair and balanced.
Is it realist?
America.
Is this?
I mean, I'm in on this. I am so in on Russell Westbrook. You know how much I am a fan of what he's been able to do. I've always been a fan and a defender of Russ, but LeBron's been balling out. Russ in Houston, it's all been a great story, but I think there's no reason why. LeBron James, 9-2 for the Lakers, 26 points. over 10 assists per game.
I'm not going to sit here on national television and say something
bad about
James.
I feel like it's
Russ's
good.
It could go. It just felt like Russ's award.
It did to me. Yeah, listen.
It was just like, he had the momentum.
I agree. And Tatum deserved his
award.
Both deserving.
On to Trae Young now. After he received criticism for nutmegging Trevor Ariza, Trae doubled down saying, I ain't about to stop nutmegging.
Yeah.
Sarah, you in or out on Trae's decision to continue to nutmeg defenders?
And.
You know why Sarah's in? Because she's a baller like Trae. Because that's absolutely It's her basketball chops.
And by the way, half the time he actually does it in a manner of which he's trying to get by a guy.
But what about the other half of the time?
It doesn't matter. Do you have to do that?
Yeah.
You keep doing that.
The next person he does it to almost has a responsibility to hit him now.
Oh, why?
For real, because
why?
Because Trevor Ariza has set the bar of what you're supposed to do.
Maybe you stop him. Maybe you stop the pass.
I know it seems only a week into our show. I'm always disagreeing with Wilds. I don't mean to. He just has a lot of bad takes.
Our camera guy is the best.
I'm in as well. Listen, I'm gonna take this to maybe a slightly darker place. There's a lot of bias in this commentary right here. This is a short person bias because this is his version of dunking on someone. And no one would ever say, you didn't have to dunk it on him. You could have just laid it in. Trae can't dunk on you. All he can do is nutmeg you. So he does. It's his version of dunking on someone. We don't ever say, Vince shouldn't have dunked on somebody. It was rude. Did he have to? It's 2 points either way. This is Trae's version of a dunk. You know I'm right. I've swayed you a bit.
A little bit.
Good take, Sarah.
On to the Spurs. With Greg Popovich out for personal reasons, Tim Duncan filled in, got the win, but Pop still gets credit on his record for the win. Nick, you in or out on Pop getting the credit for Duncan's win?
I'm out. I don't think Steve Kerr should have got that 37-4, I think it was, that Luke Walton went. No, this is nonsense. Tim Duncan's 1-0. Tim Duncan, right now, highest winning percentage in the history of professional basketball, and credit to him for it, except he's not. Now, should Becky Hammon have been the head coach instead of Tim Duncan? I don't know. That's Pop's call. It was a little surprising to me. But no, I'm out. The rule's wrong. They should change it.
The rule's wrong.
I'm in. Yeah. I'm going to be in. Just because he would have got the loss.
Pop picked up the loss.
It's Ian. I'm okay with this. All the preparation, all the work, all the scouting, everything that goes into the.
But you're probably in on maybe Becky Hammon. You would have liked to have seen her, right?
Yes. Yeah. I definitely would. Listen, that's a whole other conversation.
They need to change these rules. When Jenna's out sick next week, she will get. Get the wins or the losses for the show.
Does she still get paid though?
You know what? Touche. Good point.
Not going to be out sick, but if I do, I'm still getting the win.
Yeah. We'll swing in the check. You're definitely swinging.
Anything wild? Anything?
Back here, first things first, now joined by 10-year NBA vet Ryan Hollins.
What up, man?
What's up, brother?
To see you.
Good morning. Oh, man. All right, Ryan, we got to talk some Knicks. So a video leaked Monday of Spike Lee being denied access to the arena. He has since said he's, quote, being harassed by James Dolan and will not attend the remaining games. Now, the Knicks fired back with this statement. The idea that Spike Lee is a victim because we have repeatedly asked him not to use our employee entrance and instead use a dedicated VIP entrance, which is used by every other celebrity who enters the Garden, is laughable. It's disappointing that Spike would create this false controversy to perpetrate drama. He is welcome to come to the Garden anytime via the VIP or general entrance, just not through our employee entrance, which is what he and Jim agreed to Monday night when they shook hands. The Knicks then released a photo of Dolan and Spike shaking hands.
Oh, this was from Knicks PR?
Yeah, the picture.
Oh,
same with the picture of the entrance.
All right, Ryan, what do you make of all this? Something or nothing?
Oh, this is definitely something. Look, here's the reality. Spike Lee is no other celebrity. He is the celebrity when it comes to the New York Knicks. When I think of Knicks basketball, I think of Spike Lee.
For years.
As a player, one of the things that you do when you originally get to the Garden, your first thing you do, you see Spike Lee front and center. You go over, you say hello to him, you nod your head, you shake his hand. That's the reality. This is an embarrassment. And to me, this is bigger than the Knicks. This is a league problem right here. Whatever's going on has got to be fixed. I'm not pointing at who's right. I'm not looking at who's wrong. But you got to get Spike Lee back into the Garden. Spike Lee, this guy loves the Knicks, and clearly there's a problem going on. It's funny, guys, and I don't know how you feel about this. When you see a press release that says laughable, it looks more like a text message than a proper press release. I see feelings, I see emotions involved, and clearly there's something going on here, but I just want to see it fixed. And it's just a stain in the name of the Knicks right now.
Let me just say this. It's very important. I worked at the Garden for 2.5 years. I've used that entrance every single time. It's not a great entrance. The VIP entrance is a much better entrance than that employee entrance. Okay, Nick, go ahead.
Okay, so
you know I'm right.
So a couple things. First of all, I was there the night in question. Spike was there. Chris Rock was there. John McEnroe was there. And one of the things that makes the Knicks feel like the Knicks, even though they haven't been good in forever, is you look and you're like, oh, look at all these important people sitting in their regular spots. Second of all, I feel terribly for my guy Scott Perry, for the new GM there, Leon Rose, because this was a rare, great night in Knicks basketball.
Yep.
RJ Barrett has arguably the best game of his career. You play a great game against an excellent team. The crowd is standing in unison at the end because it's coming down. It's better than a blowout win. It's an exciting last-second win, and the glow lasted all of 6 hours before you add all this nonsense. And here's the part that I think everyone can agree with that. Here's the part that I think some people won't agree with, but I don't care how it sounds. You're wrong if you disagree with me here. Spike Lee can do whatever he wants short of starting at point guard for the Knicks. That's how the world works.
Yep.
He is the most important New York Knick post Patrick Ewing. It's him. Not only is he an ambassador, he pays for the right to be an ambassador. $300,000 a year for his tickets. That entrance is the way the Knicks have made this sound like he's, well, there's a fire code, it's employee only. He was already in the building. He was already on the elevator. The people who are allowed to use that entrance are employees, disabled patrons, or media. The idea that there is anywhere in the garden that I can go through but Spike Lee can't is an absurdity. And if there is a big issue with it, then you call him or you text him. You don't have security accost him in the elevator when he's already in the building. Say, like you do with your kids, I told you to come in the front door, go back out the way you came, and come back in. It's embarrassing. And it is one of the reasons that what should be a marquee franchise in this league continues to be stuck in the mud, because in any organization, whether it's team, company, body politic, nation, if the person in charge is more worried about their own ego and petty grievances than the health of the organization at large, you are going to be in trouble. And that is consistently the issue with the Knicks, no matter how good the other people beneath Dolan in the flowchart are at what they do.
I'm shocked. I'm shocked that I'm shocked. Like post Oakley, it's like, oh, the Oakley thing. Maybe it was just a random thing. And it's like, I was like, oh, like this happened again to Spike Lee. Now Spike's on First Take saying he's not coming to any more Knick games.
Golly.
It's just
this season.
It's just insane. Yeah. It's just insane. And it's embarrassing. And I feel bad as a, like an adopted Knicks fan. I'm like, how could you alienate Spike? And the question I have for you, Ryan, is, when there's free agent available, the media likes to come out and say, the bright lights of New York City. It's New York City. It's New York City. It's New York City. And we saw with this last go around, like, man, the Knicks aren't it. I feel like any sliver of like cachet the Knicks had is just done. Do you think that's an accurate read?
Yeah, it's pretty accurate. You know, a bad taste in the mouth from an organization can do that. I think of a case and example, LeBron James going to play for the Lakers. Who did LeBron James reach out to? Who did he talk to? Beyond anybody in the Lakers organization, he had to talk to Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant. He had to have those conversations. Spike Lee, I don't know how integral he is or would be in a free agent signing, let's say a guy like Giannis Antetokounmpo, but please believe there are going to be conversations, PR, agents, whoever reaching out and saying, what's the climate in New York? Spike, what's going on? Because if they would treat you like this, how would they not treat another player as such? So I think there's a huge, excuse me, I don't think, I know there's a huge cause for concern there. What, and it's, to me, it's not about egos, man. Like, that stuff has to go. recognize who Spike Lee is to the Garden. Recognize where you guys want to go. Obviously, you're not doing it the route where you want to build out of the draft. You want to go out and draft a good young guy, Nick. You've got to go out in free agency and get it done.
Listen, I've been in New York for 20 years. If you told me 10 years ago that Kevin Durant was going to come here and choose the Nets over the Knicks, I would have thought you were crazy. We just went through this last season. He made his choice who the better up-and-coming, seemingly the better up-and-coming team is. He did not pick
And
the
for
Knicks.
People who say ownership, who the owner is overrated, tell that to the Clippers. They had a total creep owning the team, and they were stuck in neutral or reverse forever. And then Steve Ballmer gets there, and now they're going to have their own arena. Mm-hmm. For a lot of people, they're the pick to win the title. You've got guys choosing them over the Lakers repeatedly. The owner absolutely matters, and I just don't. It is impossible for me to wrap my mind around how, because I talked about this on radio last night. One of the benefits to radio is you can take calls, so you can hear from people. And there was a higher percentage of people than I ever would have imagined who actually like, well, Spike should just follow the rules. Listen, folks,
give me a break.
All the rules are not the same for everybody.
Nope.
That is how, life works. We all know that. And Spike Lee, he is not in a position where it's like, okay, former player who doesn't pay for his tickets and kind of maybe takes advantage. He pays for the opportunity to root for a team that has been consistently bad. And to pick a fight, a public fight, the day after you have one of your only good moments of the season, it's incomprehensible to me. And people have this gut reaction societally in this country, maybe worldwide, but I can only speak to this country, to defer to, well, there must be a method to the madness, because or else, how else did Jim Dolan become so successful? With respect, Jim Dolan became so successful by being Charles Dolan's son. Like that was his big key here. He didn't build that. What he is doing is unbuilding it or reducing it from what it should be. I'd love for more games at the Garden to feel like big games. But now it only feels like a big game if there's a big time opponent in town because of what you can blame some of the management in the past, but because the guy at the top keeps having moments like this. You're going to start a beef with Oak and with Spike?
Right.
You got to be kidding me.
All right. Meanwhile, so while the Knicks posted this picture that we just saw of the handshake, the Nets
did this.
Check this out.
All smart.
Of course it was smart. Back in October, KD was talking about why he picked the Nets over the Knicks, and he just simply said, well, the Knicks just aren't cool anymore. I mean, it's a pretty basic, simple answer, but the truth is that's sort of how people see them now. And so you saw what the Nets did right there.
I don't know how you fix it, because no one can tell Dolan what to do.
No.
I don't know how you
fix it. He has to fall on his sword. I was 100% wrong.
Okay, that's another bet. I'll give you great odds on whether
I'll give you all the odds.
It has to happen.
It looks like this is his own doing. You know, Knicks PR, like, that's so juvenile to put up. Like, who has to post a picture to say you almost look even more
wrong? Well, the last time we had a Knicks PR update that hit my email, it was saying, I hope Charles Oakley gets the help he so clearly needs.
It's insane.
Well, the legal will get involved.
Take a break. Here with Coach Mangini, time now for us to play a little in or out. So Lamar Jackson may have won MVP, but the Ravens quarterback said, quote, I want to work on everything. I just want to be a great player. Nick, you in or out on Action Jackson improving on his MVP season?
I don't know how he could. I don't know how he's going to improve. His team had the best record in the NFL. He set the all-time record for rushing touchdowns, but rushing yards by a quarterback. He led the NFL in touchdowns. How's he going to improve? I mean, you can play better in the playoffs, but we're not going to be able to see that for months and months. So I'm out. Like I just don't know how it's plausible.
Coach?
It's the same way I felt about Mahomes.
Yeah, I'm absolutely in. What do you mean? How can he improve? Every player can improve every season, but outside of that, he can improve as a passer, and I think that's one of the things that he continues to need to work on. When the whole world knows that you're going to throw the ball, can you throw it effectively and consistently? And you take away the element of the quarterback-driven runs, can you be effective as a passer? And that, to me, is an area that he has a lot of growth potential in.
All right, on to Tom Brady. You're in. Okay.
I'm in.
You have to keep it shorter than that because we're on a time thing here.
Sorry.
He reportedly keeps in consistent contact with Antonio Brown and hopes to reunite on the field in 2020. Coach, you in or out on Brady and Brown reuniting?
I'm out.
Thank you.
What do we mean by consistent contact? Like they text every day?
Yeah. Like
we're going to develop some sort of package deal.
It's like you and me.
Yeah, I'm
he's out.
I'm as in on this as I am Belichick telling people how excited he is about.
Oh, you don't believe
trade.
It? You don't believe the report?
No. Are they in constant contact? Are they texting all the time? Yeah, I might be a little skeptical about that.
Yeah,
I might be.
I'm out as well. I think the only thing unlikable about Tom Brady is some of his friends. Not a huge fan of who Tom necessarily always keeps in social circles.
Julian Edelman?
And I got no problem with Edelman. Edelman needs to be around Tom. It's good influence. Hangs out with Paul Pierce, gets arrested. But I'm out on... He was with Paul Pierce that night. I think it's well documented. I'm out on this. I think Antonio Brown's a... Tom Brady can... His brand and who he represents to be does not need to be associated with AB until AB gets his mind right. And I don't know if and when that's going to happen.
No, but if Tom can be a positive influence on AB, that's the most optimistic take we could have.
Yeah, that is really shining this up. I mean,
I'm trying to be positive.
I understand.
You want AB to turn
it
around.
I'm trying to figure out who in Tom's friend group Nick has such a problem with.
Josh Gordon. Remember when Josh Gordon came and they thought Brady would be in? They put his locker right next to his. This is going to be it. It's going to work. And it didn't exactly work.
I know
it's
too. Gordon. Okay.
Yeah, here's the thing. I look at those, to me, Jenna, just to push back a little bit, I look at him as very different in this regard. Josh Gordon, I think, was trying his very best to do his very best and is dealing with an issue that has conquered millions of people. I think AB has been his own worst enemy and has done some things that I don't put him in the category of troubled guy I'm rooting for. I put him in the category of seems like a bad dude. And now I know Tom is probably just looks at him as hell of a receiver. Yeah. If he's on my team, he helps me and all I'm focused on is winning. And I understand that element of it, but I just feel like it's bad for Brady's brand that he's the guy that AB is associated with when AB's going off the reservation the way he is.
All right. I like it. Speaking of the Patriots, according to insider Tom Curran, Bill Belichick would welcome a reunion with Jimmy Garoppolo. Nick, you and Ron on Belichick having a better chance to win a Super Bowl with Jimmy G than with Brady.
Oh, this is so tough.
What do you mean?
It's tough.
Why?
Because I'm not as high on Garoppolo as seemingly everyone is.
Who would scare you more?
Who's everyone?
I think that you're right. I shouldn't say
even everyone at this.
I shouldn't say everyone. I think the general consensus is that Garoppolo is a good, potentially one day very good quarterback.
Yes.
And I think he's a guy who's at his ceiling already. Jeez. In a great system. He's 28 years old. It's not like he's a young player. But I'm in purely because we saw Brady is coming off the worst year of his career. And he's about to be 43 years old. So even if Garoppolo is not as good as he was last year, I think Garoppolo was so much better than Brady last year that even if he is not as good, we got to anticipate Brady's going to continue to decline. Nothing against Tom because of age. So it's close, but I'm in. I think they'd be better off with Jimmy G.
Yeah, he was so good that they limited him to 8 throws in the AFC Championship
that's
game.
Strategy, or, you know, coach.
What, whatever.
That one's not fair.
What?
That one's not
fair.
They were up by 1,000. The knock on him is the Super Bowl in my mind, but go ahead.
I mean, whatever. I mean, you have so much confidence in your quarterback, you want him to throw the ball 8 times. That makes total sense. I mean, him and Tim Tebow probably have the same the same numbers in a game.
Back.
I think Tebow had one game with about 8 throws. Mm-hmm.
It was against the Chiefs,
anyways,
they won that game.
What's New England known
for?
What is New England known for? They're known for not beating themselves, not having self-inflicted wounds. And one of the things that Jimmy G doesn't do as well as Tom Brady is he doesn't protect the ball as well. And he has an element of make something happen. That can be for him, for your team, or for the other team, and Tom.
So you're out.
Tom, yeah, I've been out since you started talking.
Oh, okay. All right, you got to tell the audience.
I'm out since I got this question.
All right,
well, whatever, Tom.
No, I'm having a question for Nick. Who are you more scared of? Chiefs, Patriots, who would you be like, ooh,
talking about in 2020?
Yeah.
Who would you? I'd be more scared of Jimmy G. I'm not really scared of either one of them. We just beat them both last year. I mean, come on. I mean, we beat them both. Didn't even play that well in either game. Beat them both. Came back from big deficits in both.
All right, let's get
the championship.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.